You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Making our schools safer by offering the training and support to prevent school violence. That's the focus of a brand new National Research and Training Center on School Safety. This $6 million national center is housed within the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Experts and researchers in a wide range of areas and people from across the country will be able to join together to offer free safety training and best practices to schools across the nation. Justin Heinze is co-director of the new center. He's an assistant professor of health behavior and health and education at the U of M School of Public Health. And one of the key partners of this new national center is the Sandy Hook Promise Foundation. Its co-founder and managing director is Nicole Hockley. And welcome to both of you.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Nicole, how big a problem do you see of gun violence in our nation's schools?
Well, I think it's important to remember that schools are still one of the safest places to be in a community. But as we all know, they're not immune to gun violence or other indicators of violence. You know, everything from bullying and substance abuse, dating violence, all the way up to suicide and homicide. So we do have an issue with gun violence. We obviously, last year was the highest year on record for school shootings in our country. We have something to do, but I do want to ensure that kids know that they are mostly safe at school, but there are always going to be behaviors and watchouts that we need to be careful of. And that's where these violence prevention trainings and notification technology trainings can help to keep kids even feeling safer than they already do.
So, Justin, tell us the mission in this new national center. How is it rising to the challenges that Nicole just expressed?
So we're trying to engage with schools across the spectrum, and that includes urban schools, rural schools, tribal schools, and across the developmental spectrum as well. So we're interested in elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools, where you see different forms of violence manifesting at different times. So dating violence, as Nicole alluded to. School shootings and firearm violence is going to be an issue across all schools. But finding the unique challenges of different bodies, different school partners, and helping them to address their specific challenges.
And you'll be doing training. You'll be doing research and sharing all of that with schools across the country.
That's it. Yeah, that's the plan.
Nicole, you were thrust into the cause of preventing gun violence when your son Dylan died on December 14th, 2012 at Sandy Hook Elementary, one of the 27 lives lost. For people who maybe just have a kind of a tangential awareness of Sandy Hook Promise, tell us how this center and this effort squares with the mission of Sandy Hook Promise.
Yes, the mission of Sandy Hook Promise is simply to ensure and deliver a future where no student ever experiences the devastation of a school shooting, whether it's direct experience or the ripple effects of tragedies as these go across the country. We know the pain that this causes families and individuals and schools, and our mission is to prevent it by teaching people how to recognize signs and signals and then take actions that deliver interventions so that someone gets help long before they ever reach the point of no return or of self-harm.
Justin, who will be in the tent? What kind of experts, what kind of brain power will be part of this effort?
It's really exciting. So we have academic experts, we have foundations on boards and associations, we have an advisory board that includes security professionals, schools, principals, superintendents, we have tribal representation, urban and rural schools, we have students themselves. So all folks coming together with an interest in promoting against school safety and bringing in their unique perspectives, because we're not a one-size-fits-all model. We are going to be working directly with individual schools looking at their unique context. So we need all those voices around the table. Health professionals, criminologists, all those different voices that can help us implement with the best fidelity.
Would we say the main focus is early detection and prevention of gun violence? Is it helping schools develop best practices in the event of an active shooter situation, or all of the above?
It is absolutely all of the above. So we are thinking about upstream preventative programming. We're also talking about what to do in crisis situations. Nicole referenced reporting strategies to preempt any major event. So we are really trying to cover all these different areas. And again, touching on things from the student level up to the district level, and even to a certain extent, the policy level too.
And you're going to be addressing, as you say, the differing situations of urban schools and suburban and rural and tribal. And how will low-income districts be able to access your help?
So all of the training and technical assistance that we will provide will be absolutely free. So we will have in-person training opportunities, we'll have conferences, we'll have online resources available, we'll have a massive open online course. You'll have a way to contact our center to reach out to experts with specific questions. So any sort of media that you can think of, we are going to try to make some of these materials available through it.
Research tells us that in 2015, there were 15 shootings in K-12 schools, and this year that number is at 97. Why are we going in the wrong direction, Nicole?
I wish I had the absolute answer to that question. I think it's a very complex issue. It's a very multifaceted issue, but certainly there are ways to prevent it. We know that people give off signs and signals before they commit an act of violence, and the more that we can train people what to look for and how to intervene, you know, we will reach our goal of significantly reducing or erasing that number.
Justin, what do you want to say about that?
I think it's important, as Nicole is saying, that we have multiple facets, multiple strategies, because gun violence can be an active shooter. Gun violence can be self-harm. And so as we think about the many ways that violence can impact our students and the families around students, we are trying to find ways to intervene at all those different levels. And I do think it's important that we are implementing best practices, or at least something that has evidence to inform or promote its use.
December 14th, 2012, God knows, changed your life, Nicole. And that day, it is seen as a watershed moment in our national conversation about gun rights and gun violence. What happened on that day and since? What is it? It tells us something about ourselves. What is that, do you think?
I think this is really, everything that's happened since Sandy Hook has really been a lot of conversations, a lot of movement, a lot of community-based movement, but also some state and federal movement. And this is a conversation that more people are engaged in now than they were back in 2012 before Sandy Hook. So we're seeing this desire for solutions grow. We're seeing the ideas that come forward continue to increase. People want their kids to be safe. Everyone wants kids to be safe. So this is something that we can all agree on. And now it's just coming up with, as Justin said, best practices, evidence-based information to help ensure that we're doing that. So it's encouraging that we've made more progress than I think people give a lot of credit for around the country in getting to solution mode for curbing this epidemic.
I think when you kind of look at the national discourse, you see, for example, what happened after Parkland and young people across the country walking out and speaking out. I think a lot of people thought Sandy Hook would be the moment that moved our country toward making real substantive progress on gun violence. But I think to a lot of people, there's plenty of thoughts and prayers, but no substantive action.
Yeah, well, I think that's a little bit false, but I think a lot of people aren't totally aware of all the movement it takes time to build a movement. You don't change the behavior of a country in a year. Because this is about belief systems. This is about the way we are with each other and what we do. And social change takes time. So everything has changed since Sandy Hook. It's perhaps on a slower timeline than I would like and that a lot of other people would like. But it has been incremental change, and that is progress towards the bigger changes that we need to do. The youth movement, I mean, part of the reason why we have been focusing our programs in schools for the last 7 years is because you need those youth voices. That's how you create behavioral change year on year, sustaining these behaviors and this knowledge with kids so that they know what to do and what to look for and make those changes. This is how it happens. And then those kids grow up. It's kind of like, you know, I'm in my late 40s. I grew up learning about designated drivers. And then that created the behavioral change that now as an adult, you know, people don't think about drinking and driving. It still exists sometimes, but more and more people instead immediately go to having a designated driver. These are some of the programs teaching those kids how to be. That's creating significant change. It's not just about policy change. It's about how we pair that with community-based solutions, and that's where we've seen the biggest progress.
Justin, how will this new center address the politics of any conversation about guns in schools? For example, the debate over arming teachers and school staff, for example.
So we can avoid a lot of that debate because our interest is in promoting safety. We are, again, looking for ways that we can improve students' experiences, and we will consider the many ways that you could intervene. Unfortunately, when we think about some policies, for example, arming teachers, when we think about even active shooter drills, at this point, there's just not the evidence base to suggest one way or the other that we should be doing these programs. So we will be, one of the things we will be looking to do is to speak to schools across the country to figure out what are you doing, to try to document what where some of these efforts are happening, and then see how well, again, they align with some of this research that supports their inaction or not.
So I just heard you say active student drills, is there really nothing to support whether they're making a real difference?
At least from an evidence-based mm-hmm. perspective, it's not there yet. And I also think about the consequences when you implement an activity like that. I have been through an active shooter drill, and it can be a little intimidating. And if you think about that, there are potentially psychological consequences when students feel like their building is not safe, and these are constant reminders. At the same time, you do want students to know what to do in a crisis situation. So for us, it's really trying to understand, is there some sort of evidence that we can point to that this is a good idea, that it should be implemented as widely as it seems to be, as seems to be happening? And then certainly, how can we help schools to do it well?
So over this next 3 years of this grant from the Department of Justice, you're going to be doing training. You're going to train schools across the country. You're going to be doing research. So let's say we're sitting down, the three of us, and talking in 3 years. How do you want this new National Center at U of M to have made a difference and saved lives in this country, Nicole?
I think the more that we can educate schools on what are the best programs for them to be putting in place, then we'll see more impact in terms of good processes, good programs, good training, and the impact that comes from that, rather than people either spending their money on non-evidence-based solutions that there might be band-aids but don't achieve anything, or that don't help the students long-term. So this is about really providing something proper and evidence-based rather than just gut feel.
And I would hope that we can look to our school partners and they can say we have helped them tailor their response to school safety concerns that in a way that fits their context. And what I think is really important is that they can sustain these efforts once we are gone. You interact with us, you get to engage with some of our materials, but how can we sustain those efforts? Have we built some of that capacity within mm-hmm. schools that they can teach others or teach themselves as they move forward, and that this movement really keeps moving, gaining steam?
And we want to remind everyone you can learn more about Sandy Hook Promise. They've got a terrific website, and you can learn a lot by going to sandyhookpromise.org. We have been talking with Nicole Hockley, who is the co-founder and managing director of Sandy Hook Promise, and Justin Heinze, who's co-director of this new University of Michigan National Center for School Safety and Gun Violence Prevention. Pleasure to talk with both of you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.